Hello, welcome to episode 328 of Sprague and Say Geek Combat.
And I'm Hammer.
And this is our Week in Geek. This week we talk about Joker. I know we're a week late. I'm sorry. The reason we're a week late is because we did a whole big group vacation to Disneyland that you didn't go on.
I did a group vacation at home. Yay, sewage.
We're going to talk about a lot of trailers.
Yes.
A lot of trailers. And obviously the pod question, and we're going to get to... we'll get to that, but no, we're going to get to the Halloween season.
This is going to be so rough.
4 weeks of horror movies. We've got three already recommended.
So we just need one more. Thank you for all stepping up, by the way.
Yeah.
I love it.
I mean, I have a few that if people give us something that we've already seen or whatever, I can.
I know one of them was one of my suggestions, so I'm glad that it's already on there.
All right.
But yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit about Joker. We're obviously going to give you our spoiler-free review and then come back a little bit later with our spoiler-filled review. Basically, you know, if you've seen Falling Down or King of Comedy or Taxi Driver, you've seen this type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a comic book movie.
Nope.
It's
not a comedy.
Not even really Joker. He's Joker for the last 20 minutes, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, even then, still, it's more of like he's Joker in reference than more he is in spirit. Because all the stuff he's doing is just human stuff that seems way too real. This movie is visceral. I think you mentioned it.
It's ugly, beautifully shot.
It is. Yes, it is. The movie is gorgeously shot, great scored, it is beautifully acted. And at the same time, it is one of the most revolting things I've seen in a while.
Did you notice there were parts where I felt like they were channeling the Dark Knight music of like, zhong, 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 zhong.
I don't remember as much, but I didn't pay it. How about this? The score did such a good job that I didn't pay attention to the score, but it added to the feelings. Mm-hmm. I was so incredibly focused on what was going on in front of me that I couldn't focus on something else.
And it's hard to look away because Joaquin is this movie.
Yes.
He's in every fucking scene.
I don't know of another person that could sell this movie as hard as him. And I know there probably is, but I'm telling you right now that you're right. And you even said it a year ago. Yeah. Again, he's going to be amazing no matter what. And he was,
yes.
And he is,
yes.
And fucking bravo.
Yeah, he was so great that I can't get over, like...
Again, he is a wonderful
character actor. If one role has won two different people an Oscar, but I feel he's got a great shot.
Yeah, I hope so. Like, that is... coming off of Ad Astra, of not feeling anything out of a movie, this is, like, the complete opposite. Like, this is...
I feel too much!
I do! Like, I was like, oh my god, I haven't seen a movie like this that made me feel so many emotions and so viscerally and so, like, intensely in a long fucking time.
I know I've seen something, but the last one that comes to mind would be American History X. Where I'm like,
yeah, that was
fuck.
That was really rough.
Yeah, and so,
that was a while ago too. But that was a long time ago. That movie was rough.
Right, and like I said, I know there's something else that I've felt like, whoa, but I can't think of it at the moment.
I'm changing my pod question already now. but yeah, fuck, man. Like someone was telling me, like someone actually asked me, is it scary? And I told them. No, this movie is not scary. But if you want to watch a movie that... If you ever wanted to see someone slowly break apart, fall to pieces, over about 2 hours, and then watch every step of it going, here you go. The movie is terrifying for me, but is it scary? No, it's just, you're saying, too damn real.
It's... You could see... And we as a society don't... Like, we say that we care, but we really don't care about the mentally ill. And this movie's kind of proof of like,
I think also we assume that mentally ill is just...
Depressed.
People say
or
just
anxious.
Depressed. But people say like, it's almost like, it's not me, it's those people. And I'm like, no, this you're going to see little bits of everything in everybody. Everyone has and experiences shades of it. Some people see experience way more intensely than others. But... I'm an empathetic viewer, and that's what made this movie way more intense, is that feeling the emotions that the person's going through. Like, one, you did an amazing job of portraying it. Yeah. I felt uncomfortable. I felt angry. I felt scared. But I felt frightened. I felt all of those
things. I like that if you pay attention, he starts out just almost anorexic.
Yeah.
And as you watch the movie, you can see him getting healthier. Now, he doesn't put on weight or anything. I never
thought about that.
But you can see him becoming more of a person and less of a burden, I guess you could say.
Because he was trying so hard to put on the person face.
Yeah, but dude.
And, yeah. Whew. I'm going to say, like, I had to have, like, again, I had to get a hug after that. I also had to go back to my fiance, and I came in, and I was all quiet. She's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I didn't say anything. I just, like, went up to her and cuddled to her, because I'm like, I needed a hug. Like, it hit me. I think I've had, like, a really stressful time this past month, but mm-hmm. I'm like, fuck, this movie hit me, like, really hard. But it is.
I can see that.
It is the worth the watch, but like you said, know what you're getting into.
Yeah. And it's not a comic book movie.
Please don't take your kids. Unless you want to give them a class.
I mean, we only had one person that had to yell at in the theater, so that was fun.
Yeah. I was so intensely into this movie that I forgot other people were there until you reminded me that I got a hug from Sarah at the end of it. And I was like, oh, right, yes.
You really, did I see this with you? Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
All right, so we both say go see Joker. We're going to come back a little bit later with our spoiler-filled review. But now we're going to get to our stream review, which was brought to us by you, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Fuck. I did see it.
Welcome to Arwen.
So, thank you. It's been a while. I really wanted to see this movie before when it came out.
Yes.
And I was really curious because, I love, it's Steve Carell, right?
Yes.
Love him. I think he does a really beautiful job in, like, in dramatic roles. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the part of the idea of being a good comedian is you can evoke emotions. I did not like this movie. Did not hate this movie.
Thank the maker.
I
came out and I was like,
but I didn't feel like there was a journey. I didn't really feel empathetic for the character. I loved the way the movie was shot. I loved the scenery. I loved everything about this movie except for the movie itself.
I feel that there was so much left out.
Yes.
In trying to create the injury and the character of... God, I can't remember his name. But yeah. I feel like there was so much left out. And then what I really didn't like was that at the end he was like, oh, I loved Nicole, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So we're now going to call this Marwin Cole. And the girl's like, yeah, she was sweet. And he looks over and he's like, hey, you'll do.
That's kind of what I got. I'm like,
I was like, wow, she's been there the entire time. Like, you could tell that she loved really this man.
It. Yeah.
And he was just like, oh, yeah,
you'll do. I know it's based off of a real story. But again, my part is I don't really...
I really wanted to like this
movie. I did too.
And going through it, I'm like, I like everything. Yeah, I mean, I like everything you're doing except for this movie.
Yeah. As soon as it ended, I was like, I don't like this movie. I don't hate it. No. I just don't like it. And I really wanted to like it. I was trying hard. But I remember watching it. I was like, fuck, man, I don't. So, and it's funny because I talked to Jackie about it. And I was like, I really wanted to watch. She'd watched it before. And I was like, I really didn't like it. She's like, I really liked it. And I'm like, you know what? That's fine. I'm just, it felt like it was missing so much.
Mm-hmm.
It missed the mark on so many things. Besides, like, I feel like there could have been a really inspirational, beautiful told story. And it just felt ham-fisted.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
To your point, it diverted so much that it took away from the story rather than added. I'm a hard skip on it. I think you can spend your time elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm not going to recommend it. I don't think there's enough there to enjoy your time that you're going to spend with it, sadly. Agreed. And, like, the CGI'd Barbie dolls
are amazing.
Were awesome and looked just like everybody. Like, you knew exactly who everybody was.
It was just off-color but enough.
Again, fucking Star Wars did the same thing. Why the fuck are we putting Gwendolyn Christie into basically cameo roles?
Oh my god, that was Gwendolyn Christie.
Exactly.
Fuck. I forgot that was I did not even realize it was Gwendolyn Christie.
Fucking exactly. Like, what is... Why are we wasting... She was a
Russian lady,
yeah, right? Why are we wasting this woman?
I don't know. Stop hounding her.
Alright, so we've...
Sorry, that was terrible.
Both say... We're going to skip Welcome to Marwen.
I'm really sad to say it, but it's true.
All right, so I'm going to let you pick. We've got three suggestions.
Yes.
We have House of the Witch by Christie. We have Hereditary by several people, because we talked about it. And 68 Kill from Jim. I have no idea. He said it's a gore. And I was like, all right, well, gore?
Because, yeah, we'll call it a gore. Because I'm going to be away for the week for most of it, I'm going to pick the Netflix one from Christie.
Okay.
Because it also doesn't look as intense, and I don't want to be in a hotel watching Hereditary and not be able to, like, cuddle with someone. So that's why I'm going to go with
House of the Witch.
And if Netflix? If she gave me something that's going to make me feel terrible, oh, man.
I mean, what was it, Grave Encounters?
Yeah, fuck that movie still. So, yes, we're going to watch that one.
All right, so it is on Netflix. We got one suggestion open for a scary Halloween-type movie.
Yes, we were going to watch all of these regardless.
Yeah, so if you have anything you want us to watch on Netflix, HBO Go, Hulu, Amazon Prime, let us know, battenhammer@gmail.com, battenhammer on Twitter, sprickandzaygeek on Facebook. You can reach me. I am at Taru Skippy.
I'm Adam Craig and Kalis, and make sure to like us, love us, and share us every Monday morning on SoundCloud, iTunes, or Stitcher.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and get to this week's nerd news, which was... we'll start. Do you want to talk about Blizzard? Because I was away.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about Disneyland in a little while. I was away, so I didn't really follow all of this.
So, I mean, the main reason I think I know more about this is because I listen to a lot of news podcasts in the morning. Not necessarily game news ones, but... So for a long while, oh, God, I feel like Hong Kong's been a nonstop story for the past couple of years, because it's the one place in China, essentially, I think, yeah, it's like the main place in China that has democracy. It's not a communist city, because it was originally essentially something that was, it was a colony with, like, like England, and they finally
renamed down it. I mean, I wouldn't say originally.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, for this statement, but... essentially, they've had this whole thing where it's basically a clash, absolute clash of cultures, where they try to still flex their muscle of democracy, and China's like, no. Obviously, all of China's big. We've seen it before. The same thing happened with Taiwan and China. The fact that if you try to tell someone that Taiwan's not a part of China and that it's a separate country, you will get lambasted from fucking China, like, hard. So people can't say that. Like, I've seen politicians and stuff like that. So the most recent one was... There've been a ton of protests there. Lots of them. It's really
like rough. Almost daily.
It's almost daily. There's mass incarcerations. There's a brutality. It's just nuts.
Somebody got shot recently.
It's been rough. Like, that's putting it lightly. There's a bunch of other places you can look for it, but just do yourself a favor, research it a bit, because it'll probably open your eyes a bit. But for the video game portion of it, is there was the Hearthstone. I think it was the Chinese tournament ones, and one of the guys, I cannot remember his name, but you can find him real quick if you do a search, is he, like, as his one part of his winning thing, he spoke out saying, like, you know, free Hong Kong, essentially. And he immediately got smacked with a year ban from Hearthstone from competing, got all of his winnings revoked, and immediately there was outrage across the internet, naturally, because they're like, what the fuck is Activision being pulling for this? Basically having all the screens pulled for China. Obviously, China has a huge stake in a lot of companies, yeah. Not just video games, but everywhere across the board. There's even this weird statement that came out from Blizzard, but if you read it, it doesn't read like it was... It reads very oddly, and it doesn't really address the question. It addresses a thought. Is more like, if you read it, I'd recommend going through it. It just reads fucking weird, and that led to natural conspiracy theories of them getting, like, essentially a minder from China saying, hey, you Activision send this out. And that's kind of what it feels like. I read it and it feels very odd. Like, I've read things from people that are English as second language speakers, and it reads that way. Then more recently, I think it was the past couple days, you even had three guys from America that were going over the next Hearthstone tournaments over here, and they said the same thing, that they basically stood strong with them, saying, like, hey, free, like, Hong Kong, and nothing happened to them. Absolutely nothing happened to them. There's no recourse, there's nothing at all, they weren't banned or anything like that, and they were actually still going through the whole tournament, and they actually, all three of them backed out, and they were, like, you know, forfeited, saying, like, this is wrong. Because now you've basically... They kind of essentially are backing Activision Blizzard into a corner of saying, either you have one, double standards, or they could have, like, you know, also benched these three and ban them, and then suddenly you just have this weird overt dictatorship. So it's like a non-win-win thing. I know there's tons of talks about doing a lot of protests at BlizzCon, and there was a walkout at Blizzard itself because they didn't agree with the statements. Because obviously, I don't think it's the game creators, probably not even the managers that are wanting this, but it came from on high to do XYZ. And it's a huge thing because it obviously spans way beyond the game.
But the problem is you're trying to make another country be how you want them to be. Correct. And like, I'm not saying that a communist country is the way to be. Like, I get democracy is well, we say it's amazing and it's should be amazing. But like, that's their country.
Well,
and if you don't like if you don't like it, then I mean, you could try and do something about it, sure, but it's also their country.
It would, yes, and the best
way. It's kind of like going to Australia and be like, don't have an accent.
Well, it's more of, imagine if New York City decided to be communist. And they've been communist for the past 40 years, how about that? And then suddenly we're telling them, you need to now be democratic. And they're like, no, communism worked for us. We like this. We're born with this. This is what we want to be. And then we start pushing our will on them, saying, you're in our country, you have to conform. That's more of what's going on with Hong Kong. Hong Kong's had this whole thing, and now suddenly they're basically being told something else. Because they're in the middle of a country, but they don't agree with those ideals. Again, it's very akin, not the same, but similar to what went with Taiwan, or what's still going on with Taiwan. They're a small island nation that essentially is their own country, but you can't call them their own country because they're technically still owned by China.
Right.
It's really, it's fucking weird because it's not even pushing our values on it. It's us backing values that are already there that we really agree with against other values that we don't agree with. But there's a controlling stake of finances out there with China that is just massive.
Oh yeah, China's...
They have their fingers in everything.
Right.
Read up the whole thing about the new Silk Road. That will blow your fucking mind.
Like, it's... It is a tough dilemma, and I understand that people are like, no, you know, communism's bad, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, I totally get that.
It's... There is no easy way around this. And it's just crazy to see it now bleeding into more of our facets of our life. Like,
right.
Going into... If it's in here, it's in... Like, obviously, it's in news radio. It's obviously going to be in, like, news shows. Now it's kind of going into video games. It'll be into movies. It'll be into... Like, you'll see more and more of it as it just permeates everywhere. And I don't know what's going to happen, but... It's going to be big, or it'll suddenly all get swept under the rug and we'll all forget about it. I kind of hope it's not the forget about it part.
Right.
Just because I feel like it's actually, I don't know, I think it's a big deal.
It is a big deal, but it's a bigger deal than just video games.
Oh, absolutely.
And
it's just this is a new avenue, a new audience to get to.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, if you, and that's kind of what has to happen is you have to start... I know people want everything to happen.
Revolution.
Well, yes, but I know people want everything to happen right this second, right now. But you almost have to start grassroots and build and build and build and build and change minds.
Well, you have to inform minds, change minds, and then build your bench strength. It's so fucking hard.
I think one of the, like, Brexit.
Yes.
I think.
Fuck that.
But I think the majority of people that voted for Brexit
had no idea what it was.
Had no idea what it was.
They
were
no
getting false information,
it.
And yep. Now they're like, "I don't want this."
Yeah,
and so
or they're so stuck to their guns, they're like, "Well, we have to do this."
If you're gonna, like, if you're gonna give information, you need to make sure you give correct information and let people make their own informed decisions.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And
it's like
we can go. I mean, Facebook has this whole big thing too, but we're not gonna.
Oh no. Boy.
Yeah. Have you seen all of that, though?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man.
But I believe you.
No, we're not going to get into
that. No, we'll talk. We can talk about it afterwards.
That's way too real life stuff.
Yeah,
that's not fun stuff. Okay, so we are going to talk about... The first thing... We're just going to get this out of the way. So we're going to talk about Games for Gold. I guess. We missed it. It wasn't out, I don't think, when it came out.
They missed it, too. Don't worry.
If it was out, they didn't promote it. Like, I don't know what the hell was going on. But, so Games for Gold for October... you get Friday the 13th, which is...
Appropriate.
Whatever. It's not fun.
I never really wanted to play those games.
It was on PS4 for Plus. I downloaded it. I played a few matches. I was like, eh.
It was never a game that I was really interested
in. If Because there's five, I think. So if we had five people for Brocella and everyone was again, was involved, okay.
Because it's the one verse four, right?
Yeah. But I just, no, I didn't like it at all. There's like also it. Tempo, the badass elephant.
I really want this game to be like a 10 out of 10.
I have no idea what this is, but...
I have no idea either. But I saw it, I was like, oh, dear Lord, they are phoning it in this month.
Ooh, man. You also get Bolt and Ninja Gaiden 3, 360 games.
I never really liked the Ninja Gaiden games.
But that's the best one.
Yeah, it's easily. Unless Tempo, again, unless Tempo.
Unless Tempo's amazing. Yeah, I do want to look at a trailer for Tempo. Now we're going to get to what the week was of trailers.
Oh my god.
We're going to start with Birds of Prey. Why?
I still don't know what this movie is.
And man, I'm like, DC, you're on a fucking roll, and then they're all like, ah, well, wait.
You know what? I always hope this thing, like, I have this thing, whenever I see a bad trailer, because we've seen the other way where they show a good trailer and it shows all the good parts, that maybe they're just saving all the good parts for the movie, and that's my hope.
This looks really bad.
It just...
Really bad.
It doesn't even look really bad to me, it just looks meh. Like, it doesn't really evoke a lot, like, me excitement-wise. It's right. Just, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like Margot Robbie.
Dude, I love Margot Robbie.
What's her name? Shit.
Harley Quinn. And you've got Ewan McGregor.
Elizabeth Winstead?
Winstead, right? Yeah.
Oh, Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I'm like, I'll see her in anything.
My dreams.
Mm-hmm. But
I mean...
It doesn't do much for me, trailer-wise.
No, and this doesn't look... You have her hyenas. Yay.
Cool.
Right. I'm not involved in this movie at all. And I will see it because, you know,
yeah.
It's Brother America. But, like...
If it was... Suicide Squad had a better reception, I think this would have more steam behind it. Because this relies so heavily on that movie.
Right.
To be successful or to give an idea of what this is. And it wasn't. So that's why it's really hard to move on to this.
Well, I mean, have you seen the stills from Suicide Squad 2?
No.
God, they look real bad. Like, it looks like a CW show.
I thought it was a CW show at one point because it looked like a Green Lantern-ish one. And I was like, huh. Again, I'll still see it. Maybe that's good. I don't know.
Boy. That's We're going to start with the one we don't want to watch. Doolittle.
So...
Don't you fucking
left
dare.
Me, no, you left me in the movie and like
I went to get paper to prep sure for the show.
That's a great excuse.
I came back with paper, didn't I?
You did, after the movie trailer was done. So
my daughter taught me one in paper because she wanted to draw.
It's RDJ.
Yeah.
It's produced by the people who did Alice.
Yeah, Alice in Wonderland. I was like, wow, that's what you're starting with?
And what was the other
Maleficent.
One? Maleficent. And I'm like, so what you're saying is you don't really have anything.
Well... This is the first trailer we've seen for this, and the movie comes out in 3 months. That's how you know this movie is trash. They've been trying to hide this for as long as possible.
I don't know who this is for. Like, I like RDJ, but it doesn't feel right. All the CG looks bad. It looks really cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you saw the other movies, then, you know what you're getting into. Bad, cheesy CGI. And I'm like, do we really need this?
It feels really rushed. Like, his contract is about to run out, and they had to make a movie in, like, 6 weeks. And they're like, oh, I got an idea.
Yeah, I don't... I have no fucking idea. Maybe they... Because they paid him so much out the ass for all the Iron Man stuff, they're like, hey, can you do this one for us?
Right.
On the DL?
Can you do it for, like, $5 million?
And a half.
Plus.
It doesn't look good.
No.
But again, I don't have a love for Dr. Doolittle.
No, I don't either. I don't understand the love for Doolittle at all.
I mean, I enjoyed back in the day the Eddie Murphy reboot.
It was fine.
But that's I don't remember watching any of the other ones.
But Dr. Doolittle 2 was utter garbage.
I don't remember ever watching
it. And the Jerry Lewis one was, I mean, it was good for its time.
Yeah.
But it's
peanut butter in the mouth of an elephant.
Yeah, I don't feel it. It held up, but it was good for its time.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Another movie that looks like hot garbage.
I think I actually might pass on Doolittle. I don't know if I really want to see it.
I mean, I have the AMC pass.
I do too. That's so, the only reason I'll see it.
Yeah. Another movie that looks like garbage, but we're both going to see it. Jungle Cruise is coming out.
I cannot wait. I even said that before.
It looks like the Mummy Part 5.
Okay, so it looks like the Mummy, which... Selling point for me. mixed with, what was it? Jumanji, the most recent one, which, again, selling point for me.
I haven't still seen Jumanji.
Oh, really?
I need to see it before we see Juju 2.
Yeah, Juju 2. And then, God, what was the other one that it kind of reminded me of? Fuck. And then someone mentioned Pirates of the Caribbean. And still selling point for me, at least the first one.
Yeah.
I wanted
The Rock.
Yeah. I love Jungle Cruise. And the sad part is there's a joke they make in there. I love Jungle Cruise, but I don't know their scripts in and out. I'm not that big of a Disney
fan. They do change.
No, but yeah, they do.
But there's one line that never changes.
And I didn't know that was the one line that didn't change, so that's why you're like, you don't get it? And I'm like, I do love it. I do love, I love going to Jungle Cruise. It's my favorite one almost always, especially at night, too. I can't wait for this dumb-ass fucking movie. I will watch the shit out of it. It looks so dumb.
What? I mean, I'm going to watch it. It looks very dumb. I'm not excited, but I'm like, all right, I'll go see this.
I'm excited.
Like, I think I'll have fun with it, so that's all that really matters to me.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Take two. Okay, so we've realized that during the show, this is post-show, we realized we didn't talk about Disneyland at all, so we talked about it, and that didn't record, so we're talking about it again.
Welcome to the magic of podcasting.
So, we went to Disneyland last week, we went with a listener of the show, TK, and the Hero Life mate flew out, and we had some friends also go with us. The main reason we went was for Galaxy's Edge, but we also went to Disneyland because it's Disneyland.
Yes.
I'm really angry at friends that went earlier because they complained or they talked about how dead it was and would send pictures and stuff.
Every social media post I could possibly think of said the same thing.
Yeah, and it was busy as fuck. We talked to the dude when we were making our droid and he said, this is the busiest it's been since the preview weekends. He's like, I don't know what happened. So we think we just hit...
I think it's finally things are starting to balance back.
Things are bouncing back, and it's also Halloween time, and I think we hit, like, vacations for people.
Probably.
So that sucked.
Yeah.
The line for Pirates was the longest I've ever seen it, and it was ridiculous.
That blows.
We built a droid. We call her BBK-80, or Katie.
I still love her, though.
I love the name. She's a purple little... BB unit. That was the most fun that I've had at Disneyland. I'm pretty sure.
I really want to do that.
Yeah, I highly recommend doing it.
Was it a fun thing just for you, or is it a fun thing as a group kind of thing? Because I'm guessing you did it with you, your daughter, and Sarah, right?
Yeah, and she loved it too. She had a blast. Renoa had a blast, and they can't wait to build another droid. We're going to build an Astromech next time.
Is that like R2-D2? R2,
yeah.
Okay. How many different types of droids do they have, I guess?
It looks like they've got two, so possibly three. The BB and the R2
unit. Okay. I'm like, I hope they continue to expand on that, because it sounds like that's pretty awesome.
So we built a BB unit. She is a First Order unit.
No, she had First Order.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, she's Resistance unit. And they have, like, these chips that you... And that's one of the things I actually wish that they had... talked about. They have like an outside area that has a bunch of stuff you can buy, and then you go in and you build your droid, but you can customize their chip.
What's their chip?
Their chip makes them First Order Resistance.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't know that. And then there's accessories that you can buy on the outside to put onto your droid. I didn't know that.
Like what kind of accessories?
Like the astromech units, you can put the serving tray from Return of the Jedi on it, which... Yes, I am. That's adorable. So you can put different sort of accessories on them.
So, but those aren't required during the droid building?
No, no, no.
I wish they would publicize that a bit more, or at least make it more of an option.
Yeah, I had no idea until a friend had posted on my picture of like the things they did, and I was like, wait, what? So
maybe it's because it was so busy?
I don't know. That was a depressing part. But she is a Resistance droid, and you can walk around the park, and she'll interact with other droids. Like, as soon as you leave the depot, there are four droids there, and they start jibber-jabbering, and she's in her box, and she's jibber-jabbering and moving around.
Damn, adorable.
We took her to the First Order side. She got kind of nervous. Like, she would
make nervous sounds. Oh, my God, I love it.
That's amazing.
I really love that. That's so a much. Small, subtle attention detail that I really dig.
You can't go into the actual Millennium Falcon, but the Smuggler's Run ride... is built like the interior of the Falcon. There's a jar table and everything, so...
I kind of wish you could. I know it wouldn't make sense for the park. I understand why they, because they let you walk in it once, they wouldn't let you walk in it twice. But it would be cool if you could just go in to explore it a little bit.
It would be, but like,
you know, it would be so fucking packed. Yeah. No one would ever leave.
And that's it. Like, I feel like Galaxy's Edge was built for people that loved The Last Jedi. That it's Star Wars, so I love it. Where, like, I went through and I'm like, man, there's so many missed opportunities here.
Like what?
I feel that, like, there's one ride. It's the biggest area in Disneyland, and there's one ride, and then there's just an alleyway, essentially, of merchants. And then it's nothing. Now, I know there's Rise of Resistance is going to take up a large space, and so over there you have, like, nothing. Like, it's barren. There's an X-Wing, an A-Wing, and, like, one little shack to buy stuff. But there's nothing.
Yeah.
And then the merchants, I'm not, like, I wanted more Star Wars stuff, and I know it's hard to explain that, but because they're filled with Star Wars stuff, but I just didn't see enough stuff.
Or unique stuff.
Yeah, like, the most unique thing that I wanted to buy was Sabacc cards.
I knew that's a thing from, like,
that's a Star Wars card game. Yeah. That's how Solo won the Falcon.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. It's fine. I enjoyed Galaxy's Edge, but I was like, I'm going to spend all day here. Like, I'm never going to leave. It's Star Wars. It's a theme park of Star Wars. And, like, what they promoted and what they sold are two different things.
Yeah.
Because I know they said, like, you know, the park is going to interact with you, and people are going to, based upon how you do on rides and stuff. Now, Rise of Resistance isn't out, so maybe it'll happen later on down the road, but I just feel like there's a huge missed opportunity here with Star Wars. Like, I feel like once they had the contract with Lucas, they were like, build a theme park. Okay, what do you want? A theme park. But what do you want us to do? Build a theme park.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where I get way more out of Disneyland in Fantasyland and Frontierland and Tomorrowland.
That's saying something, because I always walk through Frontierland.
Than I did out of Galaxy's Edge, and I'm like,
it really sounds like it's hitting the same thing that Harry Potter Land did.
But Harry Potter Land's awesome.
Well, I mean, Harry Potter Land is awesome, but it suffers similar issues where there's one or two rides, right? There's the Hippogriff ride, and then there's some more experiential stuff, like, you know, go through Ollivander's, stuff, which is basically your BB-8. That's essentially the same kind of idea. Although you
can build a lightsaber, too. We didn't do it because that's expensive.
The BB-8 wasn't?
BB-8 was, I think she was like 110.
Oh, okay.
Which isn't so bad to build your own remote-controlled droid.
Yeah.
And the experience was fun, and I think it's like 200 or something for a lightsaber. Yeah. So we did buy a kyber crystal, and you can put those in your lightsabers later. So.
Yeah. Well, my reason I was saying is, like, with Harry Potter Land, we went there thinking we're going to spend all of our day there.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happened. We ended up leaving because there's only so much you can do in that world.
Right.
And it sounds like the same thing with Galaxy's Edge, but to your point of there being only one, and there is the build your... Those things are very expensive, but, like, I feel like there should be more interactivity, more events, more things to kind of keep you there.
Yeah.
And I know that the Hetero Life Mate was talking about the data pad thing, going to different areas and stuff like that, which sounded kind of cool.
Awesome. However,
Did the app go down?
Well, the app went down, but it was already gone. But can you imagine how busy Disneyland is?
Yeah.
And then everybody's looking at their fucking phone?
Yeah.
Like, I love the idea, and it's cool. Like, we did the one for Peter Pan. When you're in the ride for Peter Pan, you can find different things, and you can activate Tinkerbell and the little lantern.
Oh, really? Is that on the app?
That's on the app, and it's you're in the line.
That's so what we were trying to figure out that last time. We couldn't activate Tinkerbell, because... Oh.
Yep. So, like, it's awesome in the line, but walking around the park, like, so many people looking at their phones, you're like, ah.
Yeah, it gives you mixed feelings. I get it.
We did Oga's Cantina.
That's when you had to get the reservations, like, basically the Blue Bayou, right?
Yes.
And?
Fine.
Nothing really stand out?
No, the decor and everything is cool, but again, it was
It's fine. Ambiance without substance, is what it sounds like.
I feel like that's pretty accurate.
Like, I feel like if I were going there, my thought about it is, like, one is I want to be immersed.
The immersion is there.
But I want the idea about, like, for example, when you say buy stuff, like, I don't want cheap knockoff random stuff that I feel like I can get elsewhere. Like, to your point, I'd want, like, a medallion or something like that. Or, like you said, the cards. Things that are very, very freaking unique and very odd, but at the same time, they're very specific to that area. I also want experiences or things that really draw me in, that make me feel, like, kind of excited about it.
Like, I feel like they could have had a perfect... They, with their hologram technology, I feel they missed a perfect opportunity to have Yoda teach younglings something for your kids to do.
That'd be so cute.
And have a holographic Yoda come up, and they do it with Crush. So you could have a holographic Yoda come up, and you could have him actually talk to the kids and be like, "Oh, I see you over there, Gondu." I'm saying Gondu because it's a rare name, so, like, you know he's talking to that child, yeah, as opposed to, like, "Hi, Steve."
I feel like, okay, so I, like, my way is this: let me get in there. We can design this a lot better. Dude. But, like, one is the app. My thought is this: I'm a big podcaster. I love, obviously, like, listening podcast wise, like, that's a constant thing. But if you give people, say, they can put, like, one earphone in, put their phone in, and you have a little mic button, can you imagine, like, walking around, just turn your app on, walk around, like, all Pokemon Go, and you says, "Hey, you can intercept," like, you basically identify as your First Order, or you identify as Resistance. And the idea is that you walk around, it's like, you've been, like, received transmissions, do you want to accept? You can press a little button like that and accept it, so you don't have to look at your phone, but you can just listen in ambiance. It's like, look to your right, you're going to see this thing, please go over and help us with this or something. And then the idea of, like, you're saying about that is that if you identify and give a name with the app and they do their whole, like, the hotspot kind of shit like that, to your point, if you have the thing, kids have, like, maybe they get, like, resistance bands or something like that, so that they can identify them and they respond to them a little more in kind, make it a more personalized experience. Mm-hmm. One is you get to sell shit, which Disney's all about.
Right.
And you can buy shit, which we're all about.
Right.
But you give them experience.
We did get chased by Kylo Ren, which was kind of awesome.
Really?
And by chased, I mean, we went down an alleyway into a little, I don't even know what, just a tables or whatever. And Kylo Ren comes around and he starts, back talking Rinoa, and he's like, "Do you want to join the dark side?" Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, "Okay." And he's like, "Oh, blah, blah." And he walks along.
That's so adorable.
That was fun. Chewie, we were up looking at the Falcon at night, and Chewie, we didn't even notice him. And he walked, like, basically right beside us and just started, "Rah, rah." We're like, "Holy shit, Chewie's, like, right there." We saw Rey a couple times. We saw First Order Troopers a couple times. That was it. There's, like, no legacy stuff at all.
I feel like that's weird.
I hate that.
I don't get why they're trying to cut off so much of that. Right. I understand they're trying to focus on the new people, but I, like, feel like there's a good balance between the two. Yeah.
There's, like, chance cubes and the little necklace that
Solo
Anakin made for Padme.
Oh, okay.
There's a couple, there's, like, Padme, but there's not... I know they're wanting to sell their own stuff, but, like, there are a lot of people that are there that have grown up on Star Wars that want more Star Wars stuff from their life. And it just feels like the legacy stuff is missing.
I feel like the Galaxy's Edge that we have now versus the Galaxy Edge we have in a year or two will be completely vastly different.
Yes, once Resistance really is open, I think they're and I think they're going to hopefully take a lot of this feedback and change it. Now, there's not much they can change with the buildings and such, because...
No, but they can they can add things. Like, again, to the point is, like... So, Olga... Was it Olga or
Oga?
Olga. Olga's Cantina. Like, I'm guessing the food wasn't really spectacular.
It was just drinks.
It was just drinks.
Just drinks.
So, my thought is the drinks should be special. They, if they have food or something like that, they should have something that seems very unique to them.
They did. Now, we went to... There's a restaurant. We'll just call it... That had, Star Wars based food, and I got, like, the shock roast, which was pork roast and mushrooms and kale and some, like, sea salt and macaroni.
Okay.
Fuck, that was good.
Okay.
Like, that was so good.
That's, like, I was worried because when you said, I know I saw the Rancor Teeth thing with the beers, which I think was kind of cool. But I really just, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the Disney Imagineer kind of people are pretty good about experience, but it does seem like they kind of missed.
I feel like they rushed this out to be like, we have Star Wars, let's do something with it.
And it kind of makes sense because if Last Jedi was really well received, like universally well received.
Right.
If it had been, I don't think they would have had to felt the rush they needed to do maybe for this because they're almost trying to salvage stuff.
It kind of feels that way. I wish... It just feels like a missed opportunity. I'm not saying I hated...
No, but you didn't love it.
Right. I didn't walk out going, "Oh my God, you have to go to that." Like, yeah.
I'm okay.
You can go to that. You should.
I'm okay
go to that.
With waiting for next year.
Yeah, when our plan is to go back in February. So
is that Dapper Day?
No, we think we're gonna go for my birthday.
Oh.
Just and then she has a day off on Monday.
Yeah.
Renoa does from school, so she won't have to miss any school. So
it's nice.
But we'll see. Well, I mean, I'll let you know.
Yeah, I'll let you know how we're doing with all of our stuff too. All
right.
Yay, fun.
All right. That was the added in portion of the trip to Disneyland. If you've gone recently, let me know what you think. Or Disney World too.
Mm-hmm. I really want to know how different the Disney World one is.
Like 4 years, I can't wait.
Is it not done yet?
No. We're going probably in like 4 years.
Oh.
Because we're gonna spend like an entire week.
That's one of the ideas for our honeymoon thing. Is I want to spend a week in Disney World and just explore that and explore Universal Studios as well.
Yep.
Because I just want to explore all that shit. Yep. But yeah.
All right. And back to whatever part of the podcast he decides to put this into.
Yay! Bye.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and get to this week's pod question, which was brought to you by me, and I wanted to know, what planet in our solar system would you like to visit? Our buddy TK came back with Venus, because it's violet. Oh my god, yeah. Of course you would. What'd you go with?
Jupiter.
God damn you.
It's such a... it's such a big part of our solar system, but it's also so unknown, and the idea that there's been that fucking hurricane forever, everything that's always come around, I feel like that's one of the ones we know the most about, or it's in the biggest consciousness, puns all intended, but I've always been super curious about it, and there's so much shit that goes on around there when it comes to sci-fi that it just, I think it'd be absolutely amazing to see that.
I also chose Jupiter because of the storms. Mm-hmm. I would like to just kind of be in the middle of the planet and just to see what...
Be able to dive down under the storms
and see what's there. Yeah, just to see, like, if there's calm or if it's even worse or...
Is it just molten and just moving around?
Why does the red eye not change? Like, there's no change in barometric pressure at all on the planet. Like, it's just fascinating. It's
very fascinating.
And then it gets hit by asteroids and then it's just like... Eh.
Yeah. I'm like, it's super fascinating. Like, I'm like, dude.
And like, I want to find out, does it have a core at all?
Is there actual mass? Is it just gas? Is
it complete gas? Like, I'm fascinated with Jupiter.
Yes. Yes, 100%. Venus is also a curious one because it is so violent. Like, Venus is fucking violent.
Venus and Mercury are like, it's so weird that this blue orb is so perfect, and then you got Mars, which is nothing.
Yep.
Violent with Venus and Mercury, mm-hmm. and then past Mars, you get nothing but gas, and then you get Pluto. It's all like, hey guys.
I really want to play Terraforming Mars with you. I think you would dig the
shit out of it. I almost picked it up, but I'm like, man, we're not gonna have time for like 5 hours of gaming.
No, Terraforming Mars, we literally played for about 4.5 hours.
Jesus.
But my friend had all the expansions, and we played it, and it was our first time, so we're still learning. But
right.
I lost, and I didn't give a shit at the time. It is very nerdy, but yeah.
All right, so it's your turn for a pod question.
I want to, like, so I was going to do another question, right. But after talking about the idea of, like, what's the last movie that you felt this, what's the last movie that impacted you emotionally? That's what I want to know. What is the last movie that you watched besides Joker, because I don't want that to be the one, because that's what spurred the conversation. Yes. But what's the last movie you watched, doesn't matter where, that impacted you emotionally?
What is the emotion you're looking... Does the emotion matter?
And it should be impacting you... No, the emotion doesn't matter. It's just something that you remember. Something that's so emotional that you remember. Is it sad? Is it funny? Is it, like, scary? Is it terrifying? Like, whatever it is. Like, that's what I want to know.
Okay. All right. So you can let us know your answers at battenhammer@gmail.com, battenhammer on Twitter, Sprinkles and Geek on Facebook. You can reach me. I'm at Tara Skippy.
I'm at Krenn Kalis. And make sure to like us, love us, and share us always on Monday morning, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher.
All right.
Unless I forget to post it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get to our spoiler-filled review of Joker. So if you don't want to hang around for that, you've been listening to episode 328 of Sprite Can Say Geek. So for Sprite Can Say Geek, I'm Bat.
I'm Emmer.
Embrace your geek.
Have a great week.
All right. So we are going to get into our spoiler-filled review of Joker.
Oh, God.
Joaquin Phoenix plays Arthur Fleck, who is... I want to say mentally disabled. He has mental issues.
Yeah.
And he starts to kind of lose the world around him a little bit. Like, he loses his doctor,
his job,
prescriptions, his job. And he starts to kind of, and society doesn't really give a shit about him because he's mentally challenged.
He's undesirable.
He's mentally ill, so they don't really care. And he just continues down this fucking path of badness.
Yeah.
And eventually embraces the persona of the Joker. Goes on a television show, which he used to watch basically every night with his mom.
Yeah.
Loved the host. The comedian had made fun of him. So he shoots him
in the head.
Yeah. And then he, while he's being arrested by the cops, he's freed by his henchmen.
Essentially. Yeah. Because there's like he basically inspires a movement.
And then the end.
I kind of saw someone mention it where it's movement. Like the idea of, yeah, just watch the weird Bowels commercial. But someone was mentioning about how the idea of like society can influence one man and how one man can influence a society kind of thing.
Right.
And that's kind of like the parallels that they're doing. And I was like, one, that sums the movie up pretty well, how they wanted to portray it. Yeah. So we did not watch this movie together. Didn't we?
Yes,
we did. No, we did. We did.
You needed a hug afterwards.
I needed way more than a hug after this movie. But I'm glad with time I'm okay. But like after the movie right away, I was like,
I mean, it was disturbing because it was real.
Yes.
And it is how, like, I know a lot of people are angry, I guess, or wanting something, but like,
so
this is how, in the comics, Joker builds his army. Like, he influences the weak-minded.
Yeah.
And they follow him.
So, like, do we want to sum up all the reasons why people are angry?
Is that possible?
I don't know. There's multiple ways.
I think people are angry because nothing happened.
Yeah, essentially.
Like, I think people wanted a tragedy to happen. I saw an article.
That's fucked up.
I think on comicbook.com or something.
You're talking about, like, basically a tragedy in the theater.
A real-life tragedy.
Yeah.
There was an article on how two people were kicked out of Joker for smoking in the theater and causing a disturbance. And people are like, if it wasn't this movie, you wouldn't talk about this at all. What is the point? Like, you're trying to make something that's not there.
Yeah, it's like trying to put people on edge for no reason, which puts people on edge.
Yeah.
Which I was like, why? What the fuck, man? It blows my mind that people are upset. Like, because I can understand why, but I don't agree with it. I know that there's the people hate the caveat that it's mental illness, and that's like almost like a scapegoat they went through. I know people are upset that there was no, that it wasn't Marvelized. But like, it's like, so some people are saying it went too dark, some people are saying it didn't go dark enough. And there's some people that just said, like, why do we even need this? Other people say, we definitely need, it's just like, everyone's so fucking angry. And I was like, well, you do the film justice.
Joaquin Phoenix is amazing.
Which, again, to the
which I said, a year ago, like, even if this movie's shit, Joaquin's gonna destroy in this role.
I was supposed to say, to the letter of the law, you were absolutely right.
Like, a year ago, I started, Joaquin's gonna be amazing. Joaquin is gonna be amazing. I started that, like, as soon as he was cast, and he was fantastic. I guess there's even reports that Jared Leto is angry of, like, how his Joker got treated and stuff because of this Joker. And I'm like, well, I mean,
do what you do, man.
You, like, signed off on that role. Did you not know? Like, his Joker was trash. But
yeah,
Joaquin was amazing.
He was.
You can't have a
intense
Batman movie without Batman's parents getting killed.
So do you really genuinely think we needed that? Or do they just throw it in because they felt like they're obligated to do it? Because I saw you when you were excited, but at the same time, I think you and I were both going like, there go the Waynes.
I think it depends on if you're trying to make a brand new DCEU.
But which, they're not.
But I think they should. And it also depends on if this movie is real or not.
Because the whole idea of, like, is it just in his head kind of thing?
Because he's proven to be an an inconsistent narrator.
Yeah, because of the whole idea with him narrator. with the girl, the next door neighbor.
With the girl next door neighbor, there's a part where he's hugging. I can't think of De Niro's character's name, but he's hugging him.
Actually dreaming about it.
Yeah. So he is constantly. Is he there or is he not there?
I actually, even with all of those things going on, right, I didn't think that this wasn't real. But it's like afterwards when people say like, hey, it's a possibility, I'm like, yeah, it's absolutely a possibility.
Right.
Because you have no fucking, the movie sets it up, to your point, sets it up that way.
So then, like, were Bruce's parents killed and he's in his head of, like, making this thing? Are they going to be killed and he's seeing it this way? Like, I think this could be a good launching point for the DCEU to start fresh, and you can have Jared Leto being like, oh, and taking up that mantle of like, oh, I can be the Joker.
Yeah, and like someone even mentioned the idea that Jared Leto's Joker doesn't have to be related, but can be, again, passing the mantle off, essentially.
I mean, Batman's a symbol, and they pass Batman, and same with Joker. You can be like, anybody can be the Joker if they fall in line with these things.
Yeah.
I fucking loved this movie.
I was actually surprised to hear you say that, by the way, because the way you walked out of it,
I didn't want to give you anything.
Yeah. Sarah and I were both going like,
yeah.
I felt so bad because she gave me hugging. It was so needed and nice, but I was like, I needed deodorant. It felt so bad.
Yeah, she was in a spot. No, I loved this movie. It's a great movie. It's not a movie to watch.
Yes.
And in that sense,
I will agree with you on that.
Schindler's 100%. List. Like, Schindler's List is an amazing movie, but you're never like, damn, I'm gonna watch me some Schindler's List.
I really need to watch that, but I don't want to.
Right,
watch
exactly.
It.
And this is kind of the same thing of like, society fucks a lot of people, and I think people wanted this to be a movie of, it's just a white guy who got turned down once and he went crazy, where in actuality, like, society failed him. Like, he tried and tried and tried to get the help that he needed.
Yeah.
And society was like, nope.
It's, I mean, I agree with you 100% that it is not a movie to, I am never going to buy this movie, and I'm never going to buy this movie. I'm not going to rewatch this movie for like a good couple of years. but I'm glad that I saw it, and I'm glad that I experienced it. I'm also glad that I experienced it with like you and with other groups of people, because if I watch this by myself, I think this would be a lot harder. But I didn't feel like, some of the concerns, like you're mentioning, people were saying, oh, it's just a white guy going crazy kind of thing. And I'm like, it's a person breaking down slowly over a long period of time. And you get to watch the process as it happens.
Right.
And that's so visceral. It's so real. And it's, and I mean, I know that it's easy to say that. Hi, little buddy. That it's not related to race, but I mean, it obviously his race is white. So he's Caucasian in this one, but I feel like it can happen to most anyone in our society, especially if you have the kind of shit he has. Like, he was broke. He was brought up in a broken home. He was abused and had like literal physical trauma when he was younger too. And he had nonstop, like, just everything going against him kind of thing. But genuinely, he was trying his best, which what makes it really so fucking hard. And I'm not saying he's a good person.
And I mean, we've all had the moment. I mean, that we want to just sit in a refrigerator.
Yeah.
And just be away from everything. Yeah. And just be isolated. And so, like, you can understand where he's going and where he's coming from.
And I think everyone's felt at least some, hopefully not all, God, I hope not all, but at least some of those emotions. And like you're saying, like the isolation, the failure, the loss of like anyone helping out, like the idea of no one really cares. Like, everyone's gone through those stages and whatever like that, at least at one point. But fuck. I like this movie. I think it is a good movie. I don't think it's a great comic book movie, because it's the veneer of the comic book movie stuff is there, but really the movie is about a guy.
It's a dude who is a clown.
Now, it's funny because I really wish I would have watched the pitch meeting right afterwards, because I think it would have brought me, it would have stepped me back a bunch of times, because it points a lot of the things of, one, I love the pitch meeting ones.
Yeah.
But he was saying, like, just the idea of, I've never seen Taxi Driver. I've never seen King of Comedy.
Okay. I mean, this is...
And, like, the people, like, it's overt. It's not even like, almost, like, lifted. The fact that even Robin De Niro's even in there. Like, it's just, like, you know, putting the note, like, the pin on the tail and the donkey right there kind of thing. But, I kind of want to watch those. I also don't want to watch those. Because I'm like, I don't know if I can handle that much of
that. Taxi Driver's dark as fuck. Taxi Driver is dark as fuck.
Yeah, I was genuinely surprised. There's more than a few times that I literally jumped back, not from fear, but from revulsion. Like, when he stabbed the dude, when he shot Robert De Niro, when he shot the guys on the train, it's just every now and then, I think you, like, there was a point where I looked over to you and Sarah, and both of you were just going, like, mouth open, and you were just, like, genuinely, like, observing something, like, that messed with you. And there are times, again, I just revulsion. Like, a lot of this movie did really good. If you wanted to feel things, fuck.
Yeah. But it's not, and I think, it's not a comic book movie. No. And people need to realize that it's not a comic book movie.
It just happens to be the Joker.
I almost wish all of the marketing had been just a dude and a clown.
Yeah.
And it hadn't been about Joker or anything, but then they wouldn't have had the...
The fervor.
The ticket. They wouldn't have had the free press and the ticket sales of, like, oh, it's Joaquin Phoenix breaking down as a clown. But
it's like,
then you would have people being like, he's Joker.
It's one of those things you wish you could watch it without having any frame of reference for it.
Right.
Like, that's how, like, what is it? The movie I mentioned, Tigers Are Not Afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Watch that movie without having any frame of reference. I didn't see trailers, didn't see anything. And I was so happy for it because I just got to experience the movie. If I were to do that with this movie and then, like, realize, oh, shit, I think he's the Joker. Holy shit. That would have been pretty intense. Yeah. Fuck this movie.
This movie was amazing. Joaquin was great.
Joaquin deserves a hell of a lot of nods. That guy did an amazing job.
Yeah.
Also, the dancing was always awkward, but at the same time, I'm like... Oh, this is his way of processing. This is weird.
The dancing, the laughter, if you notice, the laughter is different almost every time.
Oh, it's unnerving every time, too.
Yeah, he's like...
I'm like...
You're just like... it's kind of creepy-like, but it's forced and he doesn't want to laugh.
Yeah, like, and that's the part I like...
And it's an actual disease, too.
Is it really?
Yeah. There's... A couple years ago, somebody on YouTube had posted a video of, like... He just laughs when he's uncomfortable or anything. He has these laughs.
Oh, that sucks.
And, like, yeah, it's an actual real disease. There's a real long, you know, medical name for it, and I'm not gonna even try.
Dude, again, I needed some serious aftercare. I actually saw a friend and I went and hung out afterwards after she saw it, and I looked at her and I was like, "Do you need a hug?" And she's like,
Yeah,
she's like, it sucked. It was a terrible movie. She's like, it was a really good movie, but I fucking hated it.
Yeah,
it's not a movie you should love.
Is a movie to tell me something.
To feel something, right? Yes, like those times we hate it when we go see a movie and say, oh, we saw a movie.
At Astra.
Elysium. Yeah. Same fucking thing. Like, you walk in and you're like, I saw something.
Right.
I want to feel something, either hate, revulsion.
I mean, that's what art is. You want art, you want to feel something.
Evoke emotions.
Right.
Evoke response. That's got a response. I'm really curious to see where it goes. And that, to your point, if they do... One is they're relaunching Batman. Okay. If they tie... I'm curious if they might tie it to this now the fact that it's successful. It's being received
I know Joaquin,
well.
Joaquin said he doesn't want to do... God, what's the word I'm looking for? He doesn't want to do, like, franchise stuff. He's very...
One-off.
He's very arty, you know?
Like, but and you could do it without him.
You could. Or even just a cameo. Like, you could have another Joker that was... But it could have been fake the entire time. But, like, that's the thing. You don't know if it's real or fake. And I love that you don't know if it's real or fake.
And, that, like, to your point, I didn't even think about relaunching the DCU, but they could with Batman and then go through that, do Joker, do subtle bits. I mean, I don't know how they're going to... I mean, they can do the DC's doing weird shit anyways. But at least they're not as bad as Star Wars.
Oh, no. Sorry. And, like, Wonder Woman takes place in 84. You could have had little things. So, like, you can tie all of this
together. Oh, shit. I didn't even think about
that. Yeah. Like, you could totally relaunch the DCEU without saying we're relaunching.
can you imagine her going to Goth, like, visiting Gotham at some point, like, after all this stuff, and be like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in the late 80s or mid-80s?
I think it's 84, or... It's 80... I think it's 84. I think it's Wonder Woman 84.
Is... No, no, but I mean, like, a Joker. Joker's in the 80s, right?
Yeah, early.
So, like, can you imagine her coming to Gotham, like, right after, like, all the riots, and going, like, what?
Because, like, the sanitation strike did happen in New York.
Yeah.
And it happened in 81.
Okay.
And a lot of these things kind of point to that time frame. Yeah. I love this movie. So we both say go see it.
Just.
But know what you're getting into when you see it.
Yeah. Have some aftercare ready. Like, not drinks. Just have, like, fluffy bunnies and kittens and stuff like that. Oh, boy.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to episode 328 of Sprague and Zay Geek. So for Sprague and Zay Geek, I'm Bat.
And I'm Hammer.
Embrace your geek.
Have a great week.
Okay,
yeah, no, I'm good. Afterwards, though, I was not good.